another edition of To Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn, a somber but calm edition of the podcast this week. No, it's going to be neither. But with me, I've got Caroline. How's it going?
Hey.
Matt will be joining us momentarily. So why don't we start with everybody's favorite section, defend yourself, in which case I can't attack the Virginia basketball team, like, personally, because they're not here with us tonight. So you are the closest thing I know to the embodiment of the Virginia basketball team, Caroline. I'm going to defend or attack you. What is going on? Why are you losing so many games? Defend yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. 30 seconds or less. Go over
it. 30 seconds or less. When that ball sat on the rim at Virginia Tech, I think it was some Freaky Friday shit that happened, and they took our shooting. It's clear to me that this is – everyone has the yips at the same time. I've never seen it. It's a shooting slump like I've never seen before, that it's affected everybody. Obviously, I'm not acting as the team right now.
Yeah.
The – man – Miami one was brutal. I think the others you can kind of whatever. Like with Duke, they hung in there. Carolina was just a drubbing. And I don't know, maybe we were due one of those because it had been almost 4 years since Virginia hadn't been in a game. Like when you think about that, it's a little absurd. Like it's crazy that for 4 years almost, every single basketball game that Virginia played in, they were competitive in the second half, like had a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's not even true of every team in the top 25 this season. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I mean, everyone's been blown out in the last 2 years. I mean, Duke's been blown out by Miami in, sure, you know, at home, like
right.
Virginia's done it to a couple of the teams, you know what I mean? Like where some of those Louisville games, like Louisville was out of it from, you know, at halftime last year, the first game this year, really, minus that quasi comeback in the last few minutes. It's just basically they went cold shooting, and as cold as could possibly be, over a week. There's really been a bad week. The problem is they had four games in that week. Like, could not have been a worse time to go that cold. I lied. Just kidding. There is a worse time to go that cold. And it's the second week of March or whatever, right, when the tournament starts. That's definitely a worse time to go this cold.
Right.
The only consolation I have found in the last two games, I'll say, is that at least against Duke, the offense looked like they forgot what basketball was. Right. Like, and part of that is, to Duke's credit, they used that three-quarter press to really force Virginia into their own game. Like they made it like super our game. Like you're going to have 14 seconds to find your best shot as opposed to
right,
28 seconds to do that minus, you know, pressure, whatever. So that one really worried me because the offense just looked like they forgot completely what they were doing. Against Carolina, they had open looks, and even Coach Williams said after the game, Roy Williams is like, I've never seen them miss that many shots. Like, I don't even think, yep, like, he's like, I'll go back and look. I think our defense was okay, but they weren't great.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, they had an off shooting day. So I felt better. Like they got looks, they were making the moves, they were using screens, like that kind of thing. Same thing goes for Miami. So I guess my long story short is the only consolation that I have is that we know they can make these shots. We've seen them do it this season for the majority of the season, minus 3.5 games, 4.5 if you like throw in overtime. Because when you boil it down, long, long, long answer here, Virginia lost in double overtime at their rival in a game that that rival really needed to get a signature win, right? And then played a pretty strong game, especially defensively against Duke. That was arguably their best defensive game of the year. Maybe Miami. And were undone late by freak of nature, Jason Tatum. Okay. Then you go to Carolina, not an easy game, just didn't show up, and then lose the most epically heartbreaking, slow moving slugfest at home on an emotional night for your last year's leader, like, that's the extra gut punch, I think. Yeah. But I mean, I always say, like, well, they can't keep shooting like that, right?
Right, right.
But they're really kind of testing that on me here.
I think that's definitely the biggest takeaway.
The defense has been great.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say great, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's been standard.
Miami was a pack line pledge game.
Yeah, yeah. But they also...
And they lost.
look at the... I mean, if you're talking about the amount of possessions and the reason UVA scored so few points is because it was such a stretch out game. It was like the embodiment of what people complain about UVA basketball.
Miami was, yes, absolutely.
Right, the Miami game, right. But anyway, your point stands that the defense has been largely fine, or I would say at least consistent to what it's been this year. It's had some issues from time to time. It's given up some open shots and stretches and things like that. But obviously defense is still the strength of the team. And it wasn't like it had completely fallen off in these losses. The offense, you know, as you said, it has completely disappeared.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is to me is how the losses weren't all similar. You know, Tech, they lost, I think, by playing shaky defense and not missing free throws as being the huge thing. I mean, that's a clear garbage result from missing free throws that you should be making if you're a good team.
And throw in some weird foul discrepancy second half.
Yeah, I mean,
the way that
they
played early second half, they had, and I give Tech a lot of credit because they did, they drove the lane and utilized those players like Isaiah and Zach had foul issues. Isaiah Jack combo would be a phenomenal player. Oh wait, no,
that'd be helpful. and if they got 10 fouls,
but, yeah, to give, yeah. But I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. So yeah, I would agree with that. So go on.
So officiating aside, which there's been issues on, you know, UVA was getting calls that they shouldn't have gotten in at points in these games for shorts. Mm-hmm. Particularly, the Miami game was just an absurdity. There were bad calls all over the place.
Weird game.
But my whole point was that the free throws, you take care of that, you win the Tech game by playing, you know, not that great, but you're right, on the road against your rival, you're going to have a game like that quite often.
Well, they shot 100% from the free throw line against Duke.
Right.
So it's these things where they show that they are capable, which is why I get so frustrated.
Right. I put the Duke loss not on just Tatum going off. And yeah, he went off and he scored some good points. But, you know, Kennard, they let do whatever he want in the second half, too. The Duke game is a much different game if UVA starts hitting shots.
Yes.
And maybe they were missing shots in the Tech game, and you start to see that they're starting to slump there. But the Duke game was a clear indication. You know, if it hadn't gotten worse, we'd be talking about the Duke game as like this garbage shooting performance. What happened?
It's bad.
You know, I don't have the box score sitting here in terms of field goal percentage, but it wasn't good, whatever it was.
No.
Statboy will get on that. I think then you look at the UNC game as the bottom coming out, falling out for shooting. I mean, they were missing open shots. They were running a better offense. You're totally right that it looked like an improvement in terms of finding ways to score. They just never scored. They were missing layups, but and going, you know, 0-15 or whatever it was to start from 3-point land. And then the Miami game is all wrapped up into the worst, most inexcusable performance I've seen in a long, long time. It's much worse than getting blown out at Carolina. It was just the bottom. And yeah, if we lose the state, maybe that'll be the bottom. But that Miami game, across the board, regardless of holding Miami to a poor shooting night and a low scoring night, it was just an abysmal performance outside of Isaiah getting a double-double.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's probably the one good takeaway. And you know, at the beginning...
Mamadi was a good takeaway from that game, though.
Yeah, Mamadi played pretty well and certainly played a ton of minutes, which is a good sign.
And, oh, but he needs to dunk it when he's going, right there.
They're hitting free throws. They're not hitting shots. And I turned to my friend and said, free throws are going to win them the game because, you know, they were hovering around 90%. They're going to start getting fouls, which they did start getting foul calls, and then missed every front end of a double-double in the second half.
So it was your fault, is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that it was the door was ajar to win, even though they were still having a slump.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of different things all wrapped up into badness. Matt, how's it going?
It's good, Pierce. How are you?
Oh, good. We're just discussing all the losing that's been going on. And Caroline was opening the doors for why there was all that losing. So I think it's, you know, we've covered most of it. What did you see that stuck out particular to you?
I mean, the only thing I have to add is obviously it's an offensive issue, but I think this team reminds me of some of the early or the late 2000s Duke teams, mm-hmm. which is a little bit weird to say comparing us to Duke. But in that there was no real post threat on those Duke teams. Those were the teams that sometimes got upset by like Lehigh in the tournament because they'd go 2 for 20 from three. And, mm-hmm. you know, like Shire and Paulus and Singler would have an off night. And I think that's sort of what we're seeing with UVA here as well, is there are limits to your offense, and your offense is inherently going to be more volatile when you don't have anyone that you can count on to get points in the post on a night to night basis. I was looking over the last three games, or the last four games. Over the last four games, Salt has 10 points, Reuter has 8 points, and Momedy has 7 points. And that's it from all of our post guys. So that's 25 points from, I don't know, 100 minutes of guys.
Mm-hmm. Combined?
Combined. Those are their combined point totals. None of them have more than 5 in a game. It's awful.
So yeah, it's hard to win basketball games like that.
Right. When you're doing that, when we drive, no one leaves their man because no one respects our big men. When we're out on the edge, no one's worried about, you know, doubling or making open passes. They're fine with letting us shoot threes, and they're going to contest them because they're not worried about having to recover on the big guys.
Yep.
And I think until we start knocking those threes down, when you start a game slowly, it just sort of reinforces that strategy and it makes it almost impossible to recover. So I don't know that a slump like this was inevitable because this has been really awful. But it's definitely a byproduct of just sort of the offensive talent that we have this year.
And, you know, you're totally right. It's the game they've been playing all year, which is take jumpers. And, you know, we're looking at the Villanova game and going, well, they tried to get in the lane a little more and couldn't get a call. But it was indicative of the whole season that they weren't getting into the lane and weren't getting calls. It's funny that we, you know, a couple of weeks ago, our biggest complaint was the refs aren't respecting us enough to call fouls on London. And now it's just, boy, I wish they would learn how to shoot again. You know, something a lot more basic, a lot less nuanced. Stack guy got the field goal percentages for us while we were talking. Duke, 36.8%. Tech, 42.4%. Miami, 31%. UNC, 27%. And at Villanova, for the record, they shot 50% from the field. So, you know, it's...
I don't legitimately have never seen something like that. They went into the Virginia Tech game shooting an ACC leading 49% from the field and 39% from three.
Yeah.
And this is what they've shot since then. And that's where I'm baffled because, again, like, I think against Duke, they did stuff to disrupt. Fine, whatever. And combined with, they didn't really get any good shots. Mm-hmm. But the stuff, there was and I don't even think it was really even that sarcastic of a cheer at Carolina when London hit that first three-pointer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were, because every fan there knew that team, like, that Virginia's not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that, and I think that's why they only dropped 4 spots in the polls. But what do you do? Like, what is coach? I mean, obviously they've had a day off now, which I think is clutch, like crucial.
Yes.
That
hopefully that was just they've spent stretch. It at the spa.
Yeah.
Sports psychologist.
To kick off that week in a fiery inferno crap auditorium, like a castle. playing an 85 degree, you know, gym, double overtime, turn around 48 hours later, play Duke, turn around 3 days later, whatever, 2 days later, play Carolina, turn around 48 hours later, play Miami. It's not easy. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, it's not making an excuse. I'm not making an excuse. I'm saying it's not easy.
Of course not. Yeah.
I've had tough stretches and whatever. So when you look at the gauntlet of the teams that they played and all that stuff, like, yeah, it is brutal. And again, just to recalibrate what people said before the season, most people expected Virginia to have 7 ACC losses. Pierce, I think that's what you actually had in your preseason thing. The issue is obviously how it's happened so quickly.
Right, right.
It's not a matter of like, well, they still have 7, whatever. Because they could. They could, based on what we've seen already this season, win the last 3. Like, that could happen.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to say it's going to happen until what shows up at NC State. But they still could finish 10-7 or whatever it is. And that's 11-7, and that's the thing. You know, right? And then you're like, that was brutal. Someone pointed out on Twitter, I think, that last year Syracuse, and we all know what happened last year Syracuse, but they had a 4-game losing streak and lost 5 of 6 in the middle of conference play. Like, this stuff does happen. It sucks. And I think that's where everyone, it's how it's happened, where it seems like there's no answers. It's not like they're throwing the ball away. They're not, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to
say. It's not a stretch of losing like 4 contested games and they just, you know, a couple things that go the other way. I mean, they've looked just bad.
But they've still, you know, 3 of 4 have been contested, if we're being honest.
Which, again, is a testament to the defense, right?
Even looking like hot garbage on offense like they were, they still, you know, we're able to make games out of them.
I think one thing we need to talk about before we maybe predict or talk about what could happen down the road is that London really, you know, the Miami game was another big difference where he wasn't carrying the team in scoring and seemed to be not wanting to carry the team in scoring. And obviously, I didn't see anyone really, you know, get at him with any questions about, like, what's up? What happened? You know? But it seemed to be noticeable to myself and most fans who were watching that he wasn't the same player that he has been most of the season or most of his career, frankly. So I don't know what to think about
that. You mean getting after him in post-game, like after Miami? Like
after I don't – yeah, exactly. And so
people asked him, and he said, you know, coach always says, you know, the – sun will come up tomorrow. Like joy. He's like, I hope my shot comes up too. I don't think he has an answer. That's the problem. Like, and that's not really fair. It's more along the lines of like, there have been a couple that have missed the rim entirely. I don't think that there were as many as you would expect based on like Twitter and
sure.
A lot are just right there. And some of it might be fatigue over that stretch because some were rimming out. So maybe not getting the right, you know, velocity, or they're getting a lower trajectory on the shots. Maybe not as much lift in their legs. That could be a reason why Ty Jerome has like 4 shots that look like they're in and then pop right back up. But it's just something that he is getting all of the attention and I think he's just the bee's knees. He's a very different leader than Malcolm. Malcolm is the stoic leader, and I think that's what a lot of people were used to, and he knows always what to say and what to do, and London's more of the emotional leader. Like, you can tell when London is frustrated. I don't know that that's always good, you know? He gets frustrated with the refs and it kind of shows in his body language. And sometimes he uses that as swagger. And I think that it's there. And if there's one thing, like, he's not going to give up, that's for sure. Like, you know, you got to shoot out of, and that's what you said, you have to shoot out of a slump.
Sure.
So, you know, you can't fix it unless you take shots. So I want him to keep taking shots. Like, he's got to be in the game. And I will amend my "this team goes as Zay goes" because I figured up until that point, London was able to get his whoever he needed to. You know, like he would get points. I still think that down the stretch, Zay is going to be the key with the interior game, like Matt talked about. Like we just need to have even throwing the ball into. Oh gosh, don't throw the ball into Jack or Jared.
Don't throw the ball into anyone.
Into the hoop.
The ball there. It hasn't been London shying away from shots, even in that Miami game, Pierce, where you said that he didn't take the lead on offense. He took about a third of the shots that we took from the field.
Oh wow.
And a lot of them look good.
he only went 2 for 15. But the issue isn't that he didn't shoot them. I don't know. I mean, the threes for him and the Miami announcer, I wasn't at the game, so I was watching it on TV.
Bad fan.
Yeah, always. But one of the things that the announcers mentioned was how frequently our offense got initiated late and you ended up with 4 seconds left on the clock and they just threw it to London and he had to take a contested shot. Yes, so anytime we get into the last 5 seconds because we don't have someone who can create, it goes to London and he's got to just sort of jack it up and pray. Mm-hmm. I also think that he still takes a lot of the shots that earlier in the season, we were probably hoping he'd get foul calls on where he sort of drives in, goes straight at someone's body and kind of jumps away and goes up with it. Mm-hmm. But he's not getting foul calls and he hasn't all season. So those are starting to get a little frustrated just because he hasn't gotten a foul call on any of those shots. We take contested runners in the lane 5 times a game.
Yeah. And, you know, that's got to change.
it would be nice.
And everybody knows that, you know. It's not like the team doesn't know that.
This team is legitimately too unselfish. Like,
yeah, we've been saying that on podcasts since we started doing them. I mean,
I know. And
not Mariel. Mariel is right.
Mariel will take it.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, look at Mamadi, and he would make these great moves. And honestly, the passes weren't bad, but dunk that. You can dunk from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Like, and some of that might be a little bit of like first year hesitancy, like he doesn't want to do something that's too flashy or dangerous with the ball and like end up back on the bench. But at this point, he has been the only real bright spot for me in the last 3 games, really 2 games. At Carolina, I think he was the best thing that happened in the Carolina game. And a lot of the like the Carolina media that I talked to, or that, you know, like Lauren Brownlow and like those, where they're like, oh wow, he's delightful. Like, is he going to be a thing? Because that's great. I just need him to dunk those. Yeah. Like, you have to take those points when you get them. Like, especially if you can't get points when you get them.
The issue with him being the best thing in the Carolina game is that he played 25 minutes and had 2 points.
That's a high scorer for that game, isn't it?
Yeah.
2 points.
God, I don't even want to look up who the high scorer was. I think Mariel actually had a decent game that game.
He had a couple nice shots. Long twos. Hashtag long twos.
Well, he's definitely one of the bright spots when you look at where is this team going to be next year. You know, are we going to adjust predictions? You know, where 2 weeks ago we would have been like, oh, next year, okay, we only lose one guy, it's London, but Ty, man, that Villanova game, Ty looks great, blah blah blah. Right now it's going, oh, we don't have anything on the inside and the one guy coming in is a wing, you know. But you look at Diakite having another year under his belt, and Huff coming off a redshirt, and Hunter's listed at the same height as Wilkins, I believe. I remember checking that during the game. So a quick answer to those questions that have been thrown around, what do we have that's going to be any different last year besides losing London? I think you do have some room for optimism.
Did you mention Marco Anthony? Because I am maybe the most excited about him.
Yeah, but he's a wing is what I'm saying. Particularly to where our
issue. Oh, forwards. Is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We also have an open scholarship for a transfer.
That's true, and especially with the way the graduate transfer rule has become just as popular as it is in football. I mean, look at Syracuse, has two of them this year, dominating the team for them. Speaking of Syracuse, our stat guy threw out what we were talking earlier, that Syracuse last year, we know where they ended up last year in the tournament, but in the regular season, they closed out losing 4 of their last 5 and their game in the ACC tournament, which I can't, you know, I don't know what Syracuse fans were saying at that point, but I'm sure it wasn't good things about their potential in the NCAAs, and we saw it impact their seeding. Just saying, the season's not over, and postseason is what matters anyway, as Virginia has sort of found out recently on the bad side. So maybe we could get a little bit of flipping from that. But that all being said, are you guys concerned about bubble status like a bunch of internet people are? Because if you are, I'm going to yell at you, Matt.
Say yes just so he yells at you.
Hey, I'm not concerned yet just because the bubble is terrible.
Exactly.
That's not a good reason, right? Like the fact that Georgetown is like 500 and is in the next four out doesn't make me feel better.
Leave
about
Georgetown alone, all right? They're trying.
No one likes Georgetown.
They're going to hire a new
coach. I hope they get a new coach.
Yeah, they will.
Just kidding. Don't take my diploma.
It doesn't make me feel better about the fact that we can't score.
Of course.
If we lose the state, I'll be actually kind of worried. I will. And I know that like the numbers behind it are probably still fine, even if you lose out. But
they are.
Losing the state, thanks. That's helpful. losing the state with Carolina up, and then you're looking at like a six-game losing streak, and I can't even talk about that yet. If we lose the state, I quit.
Georgetown is currently losing to DePaul at the half.
Fighting Dave Latos.
Good.
Stat guy is really killing it tonight.
He's handy.
Yeah.
I want to start asking like random things.
Well, speaking of that, Caroline, I want to get your answer first. Actually, are you concerned about if we lose this state? Are you going to be panicking about making the NCAAs?
No.
Okay.
The state game was one that I was worried about. Just when the schedule came out, because obviously we all thought they were going to be a lot better than they've shown to be.
Right.
They went down to Georgia Tech and did what UNC was unable to do, or who else was just down there that they just beat?
They've been beating everybody in Atlanta.
Georgia Tech has won a lot of games, especially in Atlanta. So, you know, that's no small thing.
It's an NBA lighting that they're going
I know,
on.
Right? It's all that Josh Pastner coaching.
Coach of the year. I take everything bad back I ever said about Josh Pastner.
He's done an incredible job.
It is the second most surprising thing that has happened in ACC basketball in the last couple of weeks.
Shooting.
Planted Austin Nichols, knowing he was taking the Georgia Tech job.
But I think that Dennis Smith Jr. always presents a problem, and who knows what's if they shoot like that again. I don't know what we're gonna do.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't think that it'll really. I think that we'll be fine because of resume, which is strong. Beat Louisville twice, and they're they've got a lot of credit built up in the ACC right now. And ESPN put us as a lock, so they can't go back now. No take back.
Well, I think it is because of the pool of teams they have to look at. It's a pretty easy lock regardless, though it would make for probably the first ever type of conversations to go, well, UVA is in the tournament at as a 9 seed and has lost
seven straight
or whatever, depending on the ACCs. I mean, it would be an absurdity, and hopefully we don't have to worry about it. Let's take some questions from the internet. We threw it out to the internet.
It's terrifying.
Interesting ones, some good ones.
If there's not one about Beauty and the Beast remake, I'm going to be so disappointed.
There isn't one about that. So someone did ask, will you go to prom with them?
Really?
Yeah, so you have to look into that.
Okay.
What are reasonable expectations now for the tournament? I think that's maybe a less obvious answer than you would think right away, because I'm going to go ahead and say my expectations for the NCAAs remain the same, and that's a Sweet 16. And I don't care if they can't shoot right now. If they continue to not shoot and lose, then they have not succeeded in what they should be doing with this team, particularly how well they started it. So if they lose first round, barring like getting a 9 seed and, playing Kansas in the second game or something like that, I would understand that for sure. But my point being, this team should be able to win at least a couple more games, shouldn't be an 8 or 9 seed, should have a path to Sweet 16. And the idea that we can excuse that because all of a sudden they can't shoot doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not saying any of you guys are disagreeing with me, but you know.
I disagree with you.
Okay, good.
So you think a Sweet 16 is an expectation, or you think that like that's a successful season?
Well, both. I expect them to do that, and if they do, I will consider it a success at this point.
See, I would consider the Sweet 16 a success, certainly. I don't think that's my expectation, right? Because at this point, I think you're looking at, let's assume that they right the ship and, you know, beat State and Pitt, lose to Carolina, and, you know, we'll see how the tournament bracket falls out for the ACC right. tournament. You're probably looking at a 6 seed.
Yeah, I would say.
I'm not sure that
5. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on how it breaks, right? But right. I don't know that a Sweet 16 is a realistic expectation for a 6 seeded team, right? Mm-hmm. A team that's 6 seeded and has horrific offensive struggles.
But we would be a 6 seed with an asterisk and a week of horrific offensive struggles if the scenario you played out. I'm with Pierce
right,
mostly.
Right.
I think the biggest thing, regardless of what seed, and it plays into what seed, but really regardless of where it is matchups. Because
sure,
once they get to the round of 32, if they get to the round of 32, whatever, from there on out, it is solely going to be matchups for this team. Mm. Who are they playing? Can they grind it out? Can they take advantage? Is not having a big man going to be a problem?
Yeah.
And from there, it will be game by game.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And I think that's – whereas the last couple years, I legitimately thought they could beat just about anyone that they faced with the pieces that they had.
Yeah.
This is much more like I don't want to see like a Belmont in the first round. Like, I don't want to see
I do.
I don't want to see, like, a three-point shooting garage team.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm more along those lines of, like,
yeah.
I don't want some crazy-ass team that's got – I don't want to see, like, Marcus Keene from Central Michigan who makes three-pointers from the bench while the crowd chants MVP. Like, I don't need that in my life.
I think my point is that the shooting slump is inexcusable and should be fixed. And there's no reason to expect it not to be fixed. If it isn't fixed, then – you know, it's just all more of a disaster. But to think that, oh, okay, this is our level of play now, so maybe we'll be a 9 team and drop the first game or something like that. That's not what we should expect this, because we know this team's better than that. Or
the problem is, I don't know how you fix it. You know what I mean? Like, or I'm saying, like, it's not like something that Tony can do to, like, oh, well, we'll just tell them to shoot the basket, make it in the basket this time. Like, you know,
but there's things you can tweak. I mean, there's things you can try. None of us is a basketball coach.
getting Malcolm Mogden to come.
Bo Barris. I think that was George on Twitter.
Joel or something. Oh, that's not, that one didn't work.
No. maybe this is all just a conspiracy to get all the Tony Bennett to NBA chatter away.
Illinois.
Not the caliber of coach to take a NBA job or another college gig.
Tony Bennett to Illinois chatter.
Other questions from Facebook. Is the team's post-game Jack Brown's habit having an effect on their energy levels? From Eliza. I'm going to take this one and say no, because they're not going before the game. And so the energy, I don't know. All right. Let's see. Was Beyonce robbed?
No.
I don't care. The Grammys and all major award shows are fraudulent anyway. Matt, your opinion?
on Beyonce or your wonderful food take there?
I don't know. I'm just reading questions and answering them off the top of my head.
I mean, Kendrick Lamar was robbed by Macklemore like four years ago, and I'm still unhappy.
Yeah.
Adele's 25 is definitely the best.
All right. Here's the best question from the internet. Thoughts on the rematch with UNC? Obviously, shooting percentage will need to improve. But what did you see in those matchups that they need to maybe address in strategy? How are they going to approach that game and not have it be a blowout? Caroline.
I need Jack to not pick up three dumbass fouls in the first half because he's really the only one that can...
Language.
Jack, I love you.
That can put a body on Kennedy Meeks. Kennedy Meeks is a big boy. Obviously, one of the things that Carolina does phenomenally is rebound. So it's difficult to combat that when you're playing a four guard plus Isaiah or Jared or whatever. I think that's a big one. So and Jack did a nice job in the like short amounts of time he was there and not fouling. So that's a plus. The other one is how do you slow down Justin Jackson?
Yeah.
I mean, he had, I won't say a Tatum-esque first half, but he definitely made some shots that I thought were well defended. Yeah. I thought Devin had...
It's better. He's more impressive than Tatum's streak. I mean, Tatum hit shots. Justin Jackson was creating madness on the court.
Yes, I would
The game over.
I would agree with that. And Jackson's so long and rangy, so even if you get a hand in his face, his arms are so long that you can still like get these shots off in a short amount of time. So I think those will be – it's a great question, and I think those will be the two biggest things. Like, how do you combat interior pressure? And like I said, early when it was like 9-8, I thought they were doing it well. And then the other one's Justin Jackson.
Yeah. I think another thing, probably getting the pace of the game and the transition defense back to what we're used to seeing them do against Carolina. And that all ties into hitting shots. So, you know, it's all one and the same. You set up the defense easier when the games go or when the balls go in. But yeah, I mean, you hit the big notes for sure.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Matt, do you have anything to add?
I mean, I think the only thing I'll add is we got killed on the boards against Carolina too. And part of that is a byproduct of us not making any shots and then making a lot. But I mean, we got out rebounded by 18, and the Carolina game of the games recently, I think is the only game where even though we held them to 64, 65 points, it was the only game where I thought our offensive struggles impacted our defense a little bit. In the mid second half, there were points where it was around like a 10-point game, and we just couldn't get stops, and we were giving up rolls to the basket and things that we don't usually give up. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll have struggles against Carolina on offense again. Even in that last year's team in the ACC tournament, we had that stretch where I think we went 7 minutes without a field goal in the title game, but we kept it close. So I think the key will be one, rebounding, and two is when we do sort of have the cold streak again, if we can keep up the defensive intensity like we have in the other games.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll see. You know, the state game obviously is the first to get in the way of our march towards a national championship, or at least the final four. Let's talk real quick about more optimistic things. The lacrosse team undefeated. Tennis team, national champions, and the indoor tennis baseball team undefeated.
Yeah,
lacrosse team looks good.
Yeah,
they're fun.
I'm a little worried about the defense.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
But I mean, there it's a little bit. I don't want to scare people by saying it's a little reminiscent of football. But he's bringing in new defensive schemes. They play a much more aggressive, extended defense out towards the restraining box or restraining line. So I think that as they're adding a few more challenges for the defense, they're working on switches and all that sort of stuff. I thought that the first game where they had fewer new lessons installed, I thought they definitely look sharper. So it's a good time to do it with Drexel and Siena, no offense to those teams. But when your offense is shooting the way that they are, it's incredible. Yep. I mean, it's so fun to watch Zed Williams go off. He's definitely been unleashed as Lars Tiffany.
And the young kids.
Unbelievable. Docs Aiken, Ryan Conrad in the midfield. This kid, Milan Murray, had two goals yesterday against Siena that were just absolute rips. Michael Krause, three goals, three assists against Siena. He's having a strong start this season. So yeah, there's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of athletes, and they seem to be doing pretty well at the faceoff X, which is going to be huge because this is going to be a possessions game. I've been really excited. If you haven't gone to a game yet or watched a game, all of the home games are going to be streamed on ACC Network Extra or whatever it is on ESPN3. Mm-hmm. And
there's no better way to spend a Saturday than at Klockner when it's like 68 degrees out.
Yeah, you can go say hi to Papa Darns. You can go sell the games.
Oh, I will. Be sure.
He's the best. Hi, Dad. He doesn't listen to this.
Caroline, have you watched The Godfather yet?
No.
Oh, I don't think
I have time for that. I was driving to North Carolina.
Well,
is it like 7 hours long, the first one?
Yeah, it's 7 hours long. No.
It's an intermission.
It's Birth of a Nation. That's only 3 hours long. Anyway.
Like Gettysburg. Isn't Gettysburg 4 hours?
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Well, let's close up there. I know that was a lot of venting. Hopefully we come back with some extra happiness after a stretch of wins and feeling good going into the postseason. But if we not, we'll just if they don't, we'll vent more then.
I'll just cry a little bit.
Yeah. Until then, I'm Pierce. For the rest of the crew, have a good one. Go Hoos.